Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. We are going to celebrate God's Word today as well. So that's the third thing we're going to do here at Westview this morning. And so I would invite you, if you have your Bibles with you, which we do encourage you to bring here at Westview, I'd invite you to pull those out at this time. If you have the app on your phone, that works as well. Or if you need to borrow a Bible and need a Bible to bring home with you, there's a few Bibles over on our Welcome Center, and actually on the inside, so it's the Information Center. Feel free to grab one of those as well. And I would love to invite you to turn with me to our scripture passage, which we'll see here on the screen in just a moment. There it is. The book of Matthew, chapter 6. Verses 25 through 34, and I was really excited because this was one of the Bible stories during VBS. I think on day two, this was one of the stories that they heard, some of these verses as well. You heard other passages from Matthew throughout this morning with celebrating VBS, and we're here in the book of Matthew again, so if you need to find that, it is the first book of the New Testament. So go all the way through the Old Testament. Then you'll find Matthew chapter 6. And just as a reminder for some of us, and if you're new with us today or visiting with us this morning, we have been in a very long journey here at Westview where we have been wanting to embrace the fullness of what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Not just to say we are, not just to give lip service to it, but to invest our lives so that we are following Him in fullness. And so we have been exploring this great teaching that Jesus gives to us called the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. This teaching that Jesus gives to His disciples of this is how you can follow me. And we've made our way now to the end of chapter 6. And today is really the second half of a sermon we started last week, the second part of a two-week mini-series. And if you missed last week, you'll be okay. We'll talk enough this morning that you'll be able to know kind of what's going on even better. Sometime today, go back and check out the live stream from last week. But you'll understand what's happening here. But we're in the second part of a two-week mini-series at the end of chapter 6 where we are asking ourselves the question you see here on the screen. Where is our worry? As in, where is our concern? Where is our focus? What are we giving our attention to? And so that's the question that we have been asking and we're looking at last week and this week together. And before we read this passage that is before us, Matthew 6, starting in verse 25, I'm going to invite us to take a moment to pray, and then we'll read and study. So would you please join me in prayer? God, it has already been a great morning. We thank you for the work that you have done in and through Vacation Bible School, and we could catch a glimpse of that today. We thank you for the work that you have done in the lives of those who we bring and you bring and gather together here at Westview. Thank you for Annie and Z and their Joshua and Jasmine and the sacrament of baptism as well. And God, how good is it as well that we as a congregation can spend some time in your word. And so we pray now that as we read it, as we talk about it, as we study it together, Holy Spirit, would you open our hearts and our minds that you would reveal to us all that you would have for us today. And then Holy Spirit, give us strength and courage and power to live according to its truth. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. I'd invite you to follow along, please, with me as I read aloud these words that Jesus speaks, starting Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Listen with me to these words from the book that we love. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after those things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. So last week, we were confronted with an uncompromising reality. We're in verse 24, the verse right before what we read this morning. Jesus says, no one, which means not any single one of us, no one can serve two masters. Our allegiance cannot be divided. And the focus last week around those two masters that compete for that sole allegiance was between God and money. And Jesus ends that passage by saying, we cannot serve both God and money. Which then sets up the second part of the message that we're going to hear now this morning, the second part of this little mini-series. Because where we choose to give our allegiance to, where we choose to focus on, the one that we choose to serve, that is where we will concentrate our time and our energy and our attention. And so in other words, when our worry, as in our focus, is on God, when our worry and our focus is on God, then we will not worry. Make sense? Because Jesus says, we cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. And then he goes immediately on to what we heard this morning, where he says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry. Do not worry. Do you know that that phrase, do not worry, shows up in Scripture 9 times, just like that? 3 of which are right here in this passage, at the beginning and in the middle and at the end. Do not worry. 6 times the word worry itself appears in this passage. And one of the things that we've done over these 2 weeks, as we look at that question there on the screen, where is our worry? We have been intentionally implying sort of a positive outlook on that word, on that idea. Where is our worry? You know, where is our concern? Where is our focus? What are we giving our time and our attention to? But the worry that Jesus speaks about here in this passage is a little unsettling, even a little dangerous for us as his disciples. At its most basic understanding and simplest definition, to worry simply means to care for, means to be full of care. But it goes further than that when Jesus is talking here. Worry here, as Jesus is talking about it, is that which consumes our minds to the point of being anxious, to being perpetually anxious. Worry that is a fear that sucks all the joy out of life. It's distracting us, and it almost becomes a disabling type of sin because we're so concerned and we're so distracted and we're so consumed by something else. It's like having those weeds that come into the garden and choke out the good plants. And so to his disciples, who are to focus, who are to serve, who are to have God as their one sole master, as we said last week, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry in this overly anxious, distracted sort of way. And he gives examples of what that looks like. Did you hear him? Do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Do not worry about your body, what you're going to wear. So do not worry about life. Do not worry about your body. And then later, at the very end of the passage, do not worry about tomorrow. Now, Jesus is not forbidding what we call forethought. By that we mean Jesus is not forbidding the responsible provision for our needs. He's not telling us that if we have to prepare a dinner tomorrow, we're having guests over and we have nothing in our fridge and nothing in the freezer and nothing in the pantry. He's not telling us, don't go to Hy-Vee or Fairway. Or he's not telling us that if we got this great vacation planned next month, we're going to go out west and we're going to fly. He's not telling us, wait until you get to the airport to buy plane tickets. That's not the kind of teaching that Jesus has here. The instruction he has here is about that excessive concern that we have where worry becomes our master. Where we have this preoccupation on the things and we are solely fixated on these things and it takes our heart off of God. So confession time. You ready for this? I'm awfully familiar with worry. How about you? What do you worry about? Of the examples that Jesus gives here, those three examples, two of them really don't strike a nerve for me, right? Food and drink, yeah, fine, whatever. Obviously, look at me, I'm doing okay, right? Clothes, if you know me well enough, you know I could care less about clothes and fashion, and I would be happy if every day in my life, if I could just wear mesh shorts and a t-shirt, even, please, one day, can I preach in that? That'd be wonderful. But tomorrow, the future, dagger, that's the one that cuts to my soul. If there was a scale of worry, right, from 0 to 100, I'm at about 527. How about you? What are the things that you worry about? Maybe it's something that Jesus does mention here, food, water, clothes, the future. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe we can add a couple of things to the list that Jesus provides here. Any of these cause a blip on the worry radar? How about bills? Never-ending, don't want to go to the mailbox, bills. You know what I'm talking about? Or how about grades? Got to keep that GPA up to get that scholarship. Or how about jobs? Finding the job. Moving up in the job. The stressful deadlines within the job. Or whether it's time to move on to a different job. Or how about relationships? Relationships at school, friends at school, is that something we worry about? Or relationships with that significant other, we've got to have the DTR, right? Or what about the marriage that has maybe hit a couple rocky patches? Or about coexisting with coworkers or friends with whom we have some different opinions? Or how about things like worrying about our reputation? We care what people think about us. Or what about cars, right? Anybody else having to try to find a new car for a new driver, right? And trying to find that one car that isn't going to be super nice because we know it's just going to get hit in the high school parking lot, but it's got to be reliable enough because nobody wants to see the check engine light come on. Or what about pregnancy? Will that little stick say it's positive? Or how will that pregnancy go? Or what about wedding plans and the cost of the wedding? Or the political turmoil that continues to run rampant in our country? And let's not forget the underlying aspect of so many of these things, right? The competing master we talked about last week, just worrying about money itself. Do okay? Do we find some things that maybe some of us worry about? Could we add a couple more or maybe a couple hundred more? How about it? What do we worry about? Now, I think it would be awfully disingenuous of me, based on what I just said a moment ago, for me to stand up here this morning and to wag my finger at all of you and say, do not worry. It's going to be okay. I'm not going to do that. And yet Jesus says not once, not twice, but three times, do not worry. Well, what that tells me is that this is not a light matter to Jesus, that it's an important thing for us, and it's a critical aspect for us as living as His disciples. How do we live? How do we manage this thing called worry? And Jesus has some words here that are instructive and compelling for us as we want to follow Him in fullness. And part of that includes pushing back and pushing down this worry, this overly anxiousness that is competing for our attention. And so Jesus is instructing us, do not worry. And even better than just telling us not to worry, what I love in this passage is that Jesus offers four helpful teachings to us about how we can ward off worry. Four of them. We're going to look at the first three really quickly. We'll spend a little bit more time on the fourth one. So here's the first thing that we see here. Three things, right? The first one here that Jesus says why we do not have to worry is, this is good news, friends, is that we matter to God. We matter to God. Can you picture Jesus as He's talking on that hillside to all of His disciples, and as He's going along, as He's preaching, out of the corner of His eye, He sees a flock of birds in the sky. And as He's looking at His disciples there on that, in those grassy fields, He sees some beautiful flowers that they're sitting amongst. And those two things, the birds and the flowers, they become instant and helpful illustrations. He says, look at the birds! See the lilies of the field. Those are instructive commands that He gives. Look, see, take notice, take note, consider them. They have food. They look great. And He says to His disciples, as you're considering them, here's a question to ponder. It's at the end of our verse 26, if you want to see it. He says, are you not much more valuable than they? Are you not much more valuable than the birds who are soaring across the sky? Are you not much more valuable than these flowers that grow in the dirt? Are you not much more valuable? Help me out. Are you? Yes, absolutely. A resounding yes. We were made in the image of God, with the crowning piece of creation. We are made to know God. We have these consciences that help us, allow us to know who God is, to live in a relationship with God, to follow God. And through the power of the Spirit, we can continue to be more and more like God. Birds and lilies, they are insignificant when they're compared to us. And yet God cares for them, does He not? Think about how much more we matter to God than them. And that leads to our second point. The second reason Jesus gives how we can ward off worry. Not only do we matter to God, but God knows what we need. If you have your Bibles open there, look at verse 32. Actually bump back up to verse 31, because I love verse 31, because I can just picture Jesus. He's getting on a roll here. He kind of gets that preacher rhythm going on. He has a repetition. He's like, and why do you worry? You know, do not worry about this, right? Why do you worry about what shall we eat and what shall we drink and what shall we wear? Can you just hear Jesus getting going there? And he says, you know, the pagans are running after those things. The heathens are running after those things, right? That's their focus. That's what's consuming their heart. That's their master. And he gets to the end of our verse 32. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. The same God who created you and me in His own image is the same God who loves us, the same God who knows us, and the same God who knows what we need. He knows about that scholarship we'd like to get. He knows about that deadline at work that's stressing us out. He knows about that bill that is sitting in our mailbox or in our inbox. He knows about the division within this nation. He knows about the complexities of the relationships that we're wanting to pursue. He knows about the future desires that are lying on our hearts. He knows about the difficulty it is for all of us to make that dollar stretch. He knows about all those things just as He knows about the basic things like food and drink and clothes. God knows. None of that is a surprise to Him. And that leads to the third reason why we do not have to worry. We matter to God. God knows what we need, and God is able and willing to provide. Those birds that are soaring in the sky, they're not packing their fridges and freezers and pantries with food just in case. Those pretty flowers in the field, they're not spending hours in front of the mirror. They don't spend hours at the gym so they can look just right. Now, do birds search for food? Sure they do. But they don't obsess or store up. Do flowers grow up in a field? Yes. But not once have I ever seen any of them put on any Mary Kay. I've never seen one of them lift a dumbbell. And yet your Heavenly Father feeds those birds. And those flowers that look so great, they look better than the wealthiest king of them all. And if that's how God cares for the birds and the lilies, and Jesus says, how much more will He take care of you and me, we who matter to Him, our needs that God knows that we have. Now there's one other reason that Jesus gives here to help us ward off this worry. And it's not only a compelling reason, but we have to pause here for just a moment, because when we get to this last piece right here, we have to recognize that some people, they write and they argue that what Jesus says here is actually the very climax of the entire Sermon on the Mount. So everything that we've talked about here at Westview over the last several months, really, and everything we're going to talk about even over the next couple of weeks, it all leads to this thing that Jesus is saying here, that this, what Jesus is going to say, is not only a reason not to worry, but this is to be the essential aim as a follower of Jesus. In other words, we could say it this way. This is to be our worry. As in, this is to be our concern. This is to be our focus. This is to be what has our attention and what has our allegiance. That Jesus says we're not to worry about life and food and drink and body and clothes and even tomorrow and all those other things that we mentioned earlier, but instead that as His disciples, this is what we are to be focused on. This is our great purpose. Would you look at it with me, verse 33? But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. But seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Notice that first word, seek. It means to desire. It means to actively pursue God's kingdom and God's righteousness. In other words, we are to concern ourselves with the things and the concerns of God. That this is to be our worry. This is what is to have our allegiance, God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Now what is that? What is God's kingdom? Well, that is an entirely different whole sermon series that we could talk about with God's kingdom. So we're going to try to put this as succinctly as possible this morning. What is God's kingdom? God's kingdom is where God is king. It's where God reigns. God's kingdom is where the kingdom is where the reign and the rule of God, of a sovereign and loving God. It's where God's will and where God's ways come to pass. Where sin is forever defeated, where hope and joy and peace are a forever reality. This kingdom was initiated, inaugurated by Jesus' first coming, and it will come to completion when Jesus comes again. The kingdom is the reign and rule of our sovereign, loving God. And here's some good news, friends. We become a part of the kingdom. We are a part of this kingdom. When we humble ourselves before God and we confess our sins to God and we place our trust in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as Savior, and we commit our ways to the will and the ways of Jesus as our Lord, we're a part of this kingdom. So what about God's righteousness? What's that? Well, when we believe in Jesus and when we commit our lives to Him, that which matters to God now matters to us. That which comprises God's heart and God's Spirit is now to be demonstrated within us and through us. And that means that we, the church, we manifest in living color, in flesh and in blood, we manifest the will and the passions and the character of a good, loving, holy God. That means we're doing justice and we're loving mercy and we're walking humbly. It means we're loving God and we're loving our neighbor despite no matter what color they are or wherever they're from. We're loving God with all that we've got and we're loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. It means we are balancing the fullness of grace and truth at the same time. It means we're proclaiming freedom and we're providing reprieve and we're promoting peace. That's God's righteousness in this kingdom, in this righteousness. That's what we are to seek first. That's the most succinct way that I can describe God's kingdom and righteousness this morning. And Jesus says this is what we are to seek. God's kingdom. God's righteousness. And Jesus doesn't just say that we're to seek it, but we are to seek first. To seek first. That is to desire a first importance in our lives is the spread of God's redemptive and restorative reign and to see His righteousness replace the stain of sin in this world. We are to seek first. That means that our focus is on the will and the way of God, that it's manifested in our own lives and it's manifested in every place that God gives us influence, whether that's in our homes, in our relationships, in our marriages, in our families, at our school, at our jobs, in our neighborhoods, here at Westview and outside these walls to the ends of this earth. To seek first means that, as we said, we're going to use language we talked about last week, that we serve, that we're enslaved to the things of God, the treasures of heaven, because that's where our heart is. God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And Jesus, His words here tell us that this is to be our concern. This is to be our purpose, our focus, because this is our great purpose. The way that we're going to say it this morning is this. This is where to worry. This is where to worry. If we're seeking this first, God's kingdom, God's righteousness, if this is what captures our attention, if this has our soul allegiance, as we talked about last week, if this is indeed our primary concern, if this is where we worry, then we do not have to worry. Then we do not have any time or any space to worry about anything else because this is what matters to us. This is all that is important. God's kingdom and God's righteousness. This is our worry. So as we wrap up this morning, I want to invite us to do something. I want to invite us to begin, and I say begin intentionally, because it's not just this morning and a few moments and not just today, but I want to invite us into these next few days and this next week and into the next month and really in our entire journey of discipleship to invite us to reflect on some of these questions. We're just going to spend a few moments just on two of them this morning. First question I want us to invite us to reflect on is this. It's what am I worried about? What am I worried about? In the sense that Jesus is talking about it here in this passage, right? That overly anxiousness that consumes our hearts and our minds and distracts us off the things of God. Whether it's money or job or a relationship, what are those things that maybe I've let slip into my life that have taken my focus, they've become the treasures on earth, and they've taken my eyes off of a singular focus of God, as we talked about last week, and instead I'm thinking about all these other things, and it's consumed my heart in such a way that I'm distracted from the things of God and leaving undone the things that Jesus has called me to. So the first question I'm going to invite us to reflect upon is this. What am I worried about? What have I been worried about? And the second question is going to be this. How is God inviting me to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness? How is God inviting me to do that? Maybe God is inviting me to let go of some of those worries that we have held so tightly onto. Maybe it's developing trust and finding rest in the good news that I matter to God and God knows my needs and God is able and willing as a sovereign and loving God to provide for those needs. Maybe as I seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, maybe I'm being invited to store up those treasures in heaven. Or as I look around at all the things, as we talked last week about the good eye, we see all the things around us and we say, I'm going to have a singular focus upon God. Or maybe I'm being nudged this morning to live out love and peace and kindness and gentleness in this context that we are in today. And I want to live out those and all the rest of the fruit of the Spirit as I seek the righteousness of God. Or maybe God will invite us to do something far different. But how am I invited to seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness? Those are not light questions. And they are worthy of much more time than we can even give to them this morning. But again, this morning will just be the beginning for you and I to pause and to pray over these questions and to reflect upon them and how they can impact our own heart and our own life as we continue to pursue and want to embrace the fullness of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Do not worry, Jesus says. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So we're going to give us a little time and a little space to reflect upon that. Susan's just going to play the piano and the quietness that fills the space. I'm going to invite you to pray about this, to reflect on those questions, and then in just a moment, I'll conclude that time in prayer, and then we'll continue on with this morning. So let's spend some time in prayer and reflection at this moment. God, it would not be hard for us to spend many, many, many more minutes this morning considering all the various things that we do worry about. We know that worry can fasten such a tight grip upon our hearts and our lives. And we know that it can even lead us away from the things that You've called us to do, distracting us from Your will, disabling us from following You faithfully. And so God, we would pray this morning and just ask today that You would calm our anxious hearts and our concerned minds. Just thinking, even as I was reflecting a moment ago of the passage, that for us to cast all of our anxieties upon You. We can do that because You care for us. God, maybe some of us here this morning are indeed worry experts. And there's maybe some of us here this morning that we don't worry too much. Wherever we're at in that journey. God, would You meet us right where we are? And even this morning, would You help us to follow the words of Jesus as we embrace this good news that Jesus shares with us in this passage that we matter to You and You know our needs. And God, as a sovereign and loving God, You are able and willing to provide. And God, it would be our heart's desire this morning that You would allow us to instead have our focus to be on Your kingdom and on Your righteousness. I mean, it goes without saying today that in our world, in this moment, we need Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We yearn this day for the sin and the brokenness and the pain and the suffering that we far too often experience to be no more. And we desire wholeness and restoration and love and peace to be the way. God, we recognize that Jesus teaches us today that this is to happen through us, His disciples, the church. We who are called and instructed to seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness. And so God, this morning we ask that You would empower us by the Spirit to faithfully and passionately and steadfastly seek this first. God, it has been another good day together in worship. So much to celebrate. And we pray, although a little different of a day, we know and we trust and we pray that in all of it, You are and You will ever be glorified. We pray all this and we ask all of this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. I invite you to stand as we close this morning. Reflect on these words that we heard from Jesus, reminded this week of these words that the Apostle Paul writes, where he says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Go in peace. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.